Like to call to order the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's Wednesday, April 8th, 2015, 4:30 p.m. We are at the Community Center in the Sierra Room, 851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify CAMPO staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Pittinger at 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on April 6, 2015. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Pittinger, Transportation Matter, at 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all the supporting materials posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com or is available upon request. The agenda, first thing, item A, roll call and determination of a quorum. And the mayor just slipped in. Nice.
I just slipped in, man.
Okay.
Chairperson Fiera.
Here.
Vice Chair Erb.
Here.
Member Bunkowski.
Here.
Member Kroll.
Here.
Member Kimbra.
Here.
Member McQuarrie.
Here.
Member Smolensky.
Here.
Member Rosenberg.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Item B is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires an extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody from the public that would like to approach CAMPO board? I don't even see anybody in the public today. All right. Item C for possible action, approval of minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes? Can I get a motion, please?
Move to approve.
Can I get a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And one abstention. All right, item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. E, disclosures. Any member of the MPO that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO. Are there any members who have any disclosures? Seeing none. All right, the good stuff. Item F, public meeting items. F1, information on the proposed fiscal year 2016 Unified Planning Work Program, UPWP. Staff summary. Staff has developed a draft UPWP for fiscal year 2016, July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2016. The UPWP established the budget for proposed CAMPO activities and describes how Federal Consolidated Planning Grant, CBG, funds will be administered during the fiscal year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is something that we have to produce every year. This will lay forward the work program for the upcoming fiscal year. This is a draft format, and we are in a 30-day public comment period now, so we expect to bring a final version back to you at the next meeting in May. Just a couple quick highlights. I won't go through all the work tasks in here. The format's a little bit different than probably some of you are used to seeing. Over this past year, we worked with NDOT and USDOT. They developed policies and procedures for the work program, so we've put in a little bit more requirements that were a little lacking beforehand. Particularly, they have these planning emphasis areas, and just real briefly, they're related to MAP 21 implementation, what the federal government's calling ladders of opportunity, and which basically is about connecting underserved populations to, you know, transportation facilities and models of regional planning cooperation. So we kind of tried to tie those themes to some of the work tasks in the program this time. It is a little scaled back from previous years, just with the budget that we have. While we were developing this, we reached out to our planning partners in Douglas and Lyon County. Didn't have any specific requests for any planning studies to be incorporated in this one. And we've shared a draft also with NDOT and FHWA and FTA, kind of for like a cursory review, just to make sure there weren't any red flags. So the only comment we've got was just a little more description about those planning emphasis areas I alluded to earlier. So, and some of the bigger projects, just to point out, we're going to update our regional transportation plan with the new planning horizon year of 2040. And with that, we need to update our travel demand model, because a lot of the data that comes out of that will support our plan. It's going to be more of a performance-based plan to the best of our ability. We're working with NDOT and our federal partners to kind of define some of those measures. And certainly we'll reach out to, you know, Lyon and Douglas County for input when we develop the plan as well. So those are kind of the highlights, and I'd be willing to entertain any questions.
All right. Are there any questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, and if I just might add real quickly, we will be having a public information meeting here on April 22nd in the Bonanza Room from 4 to 6 p.m. We'll invite any members of the public to come in, and if they want to discuss anything about the proposed work program with staff, we'd be happy to answer questions one-on-one.
All right, thank you. Item F2, information on an administrative modification to the CAMPO Federal Fiscal Years 2015 through 2018 Transportation Improvement Program, TIP. Staff summary. Staff has processed an administrative modification to move the Highway 50 East multi-use path safety improvements from 2015 to 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this is just an information item. Our administrative modification process doesn't require a full amendment, so there's no 30-day public comment period. Just a minor correction, we actually just moved the construction phase of the Highway 50 project. The preliminary engineering phase is still in the current fiscal year, as that's being undertaken now. And we got kind of a late request after we got the packets out from NDOT, which falls under the same modification, and we moved some of the construction money for a different project, which is our signal modifications and ADA intersection improvements, specifically a project on Roop and Winnie. And was there another intersection, or was that?
Sorry. No, it's okay. It's the two flashing yellow arrow intersections. Yeah. The two intersections are Carson and Winnie and Roop and Robinson.
Right. And so some money was moved from the construction to preliminary engineering. Total cost is still the same, the estimated cost. Really the reason for that was they needed to purchase some traffic software to be incorporated in with the signal upgrade. So they just wanted to put it in that particular phase.
All right.
That's it.
Are there any questions for staff? Okay, that's another information item. Item F3 for possible action, to adopt a proclamation to resolve to join with public agencies and businesses to participate in Stand Up for Transportation Day on April 9th, 2015. Staff summary. Staff is seeking board adoption of a proclamation to join with fellow metropolitan planning organizations to participate in Stand Up for Transportation Day. Should we make you stand up and show your shirt?
I will happily literally stand up for transportation right now. And model the shirt that will be worn by many people across the country tomorrow.
Except for this board.
Well, we will get as many shirts as we can. I don't know how many we only have. We have a few, and Washoe has some more as well. But just to summarize what this is, it is a national effort. I was mentioning before the meeting that there have been a few recent national conferences where this has been highlighted, but tomorrow is the day nationally for this. There will be certainly a media blitz to the extent possible, not just here but around the country. There are going to be media events both here in Carson City for Northern Nevada and in Southern Nevada as well. I believe Rudy Malfabon, the director of NDOT, is actually going to be at the one in Southern Nevada.
That might may have changed. He might be here. We're not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, there is definitely going to be a large event in Southern Nevada, led by the Southern Nevada RTC. They are doing, they have a big staff of PR folks and a lot of people doing hard work down there. Up here in North at 2 o'clock tomorrow on April 9th at the future end of the Carson Freeway. There will be a media event. We'll actually have a Jack bus parked there as well. This is a multimodal effort. And the point of this is to emphasize the need for continued and consistent federal funding. The proclamation that we have before you today notes a date of May 31st, 2015, because the current federal funding is set to expire once again. And there's a great consensus across the country from all modes and many levels of agencies that we need to have reliable federal transportation funding to continue. The good news is that we will have the opportunity to highlight the Carson Freeway Project, Phase 2B-3, which is expected to be awarded, I believe, still at the May Transportation Board, State Transportation Board meeting. They opened bids last week, so it's a good opportunity to highlight this coming project, which does indeed involve federal funding. But it's not just, you know, the roads like the freeway that involve federal funding. It's also the Jack bus that we parked there. It was also funded primarily with federal funds as well. I think that pretty much summarizes, besides the fact that just want to make sure that we will be there, our staff will be there, the Tahoe Transportation District will be there, the Nevada Department of Transportation will be represented, the Washoe RTC, I unfortunately am going to be out of the state starting tomorrow for a little while. But Brad Bonkowski, the chair of the Carson City RTC, has agreed to speak, which we thought was appropriate because the Carson Freeway is obviously going to be highlighted at this event. Beyond that, I ask if there are any questions, Mr. Chairman, and if anybody would like to read the proclamation aloud.
Are there any questions for staff?
Was it 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock?
It is 2 o'clock. It was moved, Mayor. It was originally at 12 o'clock, and it was moved to 2 o'clock because of scheduling conflicts after it had been planned at noon for a while. So our apologies for the movement of the time.
All right, well, I'll read it. Proclamation. Whereas April 9th, 2015 marks the Stand Up for Transportation Day, a National Transportation Infrastructure Day that highlights the critical need to invest in updating our nation's transportation infrastructure. Whereas transportation is the economic backbone of our nation's economy and public transportation is an important part of our nation's transportation system, federal funding for public transportation infrastructure needs to increase and Congress needs to pass a long-term multimodal transportation bill by May 31st, 2015. Whereas public transportation is a proven catalyst for economic growth, since for every $1 invested in public transportation, $4 in economic returns is generated locally, creating economically vibrant and prosperous communities. Whereas public transportation offers millions of Americans access to economic opportunities, since nearly 60% of the trips taken on public transportation are for work commutes. Whereas Stand Up for Transportation Day will be celebrated in small, medium, and large communities across the United States as a day that highlights the critical need for funding transportation infrastructure, both public transportation and highway infrastructure. Now, therefore, we, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board, do hereby join in to proclaim April 9th, 2015, as Stand Up for Transportation Day, and that the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization will join with public transportation agencies and businesses across the country to participate in Stand Up for Transportation Day to encourage greater federal investment in public transportation infrastructure. Also, be it resolved that the Carson Area Metropolitan Transportation Organization declares that quality public transportation services are essential for the economic prosperity of our country, our communities, and for individuals. Also, be it resolved that where public transportation goes, communities grow. And signed the 8th day of April 2015, Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, by me. Sign that. All right, so at this point, unless there's any further questions, I would like to have a motion, please.
I move to adopt a proclamation to resolve to join with public agencies and businesses to participate in Stand Up for Transportation Day on April 9th, 2015.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address this matter? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item F4 for possible action. To approve the CAMPO policy on competitive selection process for Federal Transportation Administration, FTA, Section 5339 grant funds. Staff summary. The proposed policy provides information on the FTA Section 5339 grant and outlines the process for eligible entries within the CAMPO planning area to apply for the funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This proposed policy for competitive selection process for the distribution of FTA 5339 funds is similar to the one that was approved last year for the Section 5310 funds. The Federal Transit Administration has these different pots of money that they allocate to public agencies, each with its own set of rules. With this particular pot of money, funds must be used for capital projects to replace, rehabilitate, or purchase buses, vans, and related equipment, or to construct bus-related facilities. And any public or private nonprofit organization engaged in transportation is eligible to receive funding under this program. Additionally, the FTA apportions an amount of money based on a formula that is available to MPOs within the state with a population between 50,000 and 200,000. And since CAMPO is the only MPO that falls within that population range, the entire apportionment amount can be spent at CAMPO's discretion. However, the Nevada Department of Transportation is the designated recipient of these funds, so they're essentially the pass-through agency for these funds. NDOT has to apply for the funds on our behalf, and they report on the use of the funds, but CAMPO has the authority to award to eligible projects. Once a formal policy is adopted, a call for projects will be published, and any application submitted will be brought back to the board for consideration. So with that, I'll take any questions you have.
All right. If I may add one thing, I just wanted to point out that this is actually going to be our third year of this type of funds, and the previous 2 years' funds have been used to improve sidewalks and make ADA upgrades to sidewalks on pedestrian routes to bus stops. And they've been used to match up with CDBG funds to create larger projects.
So I've got a question. So at first it sounded like it was only for like capital expenditures, like buying new vehicles, but you're saying that it can be for maintenance, or is it because it would be a project? Like, can you explain that further?
Yeah, construction of bus-related facilities is also eligible, which includes, sidewalks leading up to the bus stops.
But it is
access to the bus stops.
But it is only capital. I mean, you could use it to buy a bus or build a sidewalk, or
yes.
We could have used it for a fleet building expansion. You have to buy something or build something.
Okay, so if there's a sidewalk that's already existing but it's in need of repair, those funds can't be used for that, or can it?
No,
can they?
No, it can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. Yes, but okay. but not on a just a strictly maintenance basis.
Yeah, no.
We're actually
fuel. We can't buy fuel.
Can't buy fuel, but you could, for example, the sidewalks. If you build missing sidewalks, or if you're making them, you're reconstructing and bringing them up to ADA standards.
Are there any further questions for staff?
Mr. Chair, Graham, when you were talking about that NDOT is the recipient and they're the ones that are responsible for applying for these funds, correct? Is that an automatic item that is done by NDOT, or have they ever forgot to do it? And is there time frames that the application process?
Yes, we when the annual apportionments are released, we kind of just give NDOT a heads up, hey, yes, we'd like to apply for these funds. Please go ahead and do that for us. There is a time limit. They only have I think it's 3 years to apply for the funds, and then once they're applied for, we can we have basically forever to spend the money. So.
Are there any further questions? All right, this is an action item, so can I get a motion, please?
Can I make a motion? I'll do it this time. Where did it go as soon as I said that? I don't know.
Sure. You want mine. Yeah, it's this one right there.
I move to approve the Campbell Policy on Competitive Selection Process for Federal Transit Administration, Section 5339 grant funds.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody from the public that came to address this issue? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item G, internal communications and administrative matters. These are non-action items. G1, future agenda items.
We actually expect several items related to the Unified Planning Work Program that Dan just spoke about. I'll be looking for approval of the final version after we take comments. And we also have agreements that we need to enter into with the Nevada Department of Transportation to make the funds available to use for that work program. And then additionally, in the work program, there's a small source of money called 5303 funds, which actually we don't get anymore because we get them in a combined planning pot now. We found out that there was about $15,000 left over 5303 funds, and rather than let them just go back to the federal coffers, we're going to we'll need to enter into another agreement with NDOT to use those 5303 funds as part of that work program. So we'll be coming back with an agreement to make use of the last of that money. That's it.
All right, thank you. Item H is board comments, status reports and comments from the members of the MPO. Start over on this side. All right, silent group today. I, it's public comment. One last chance. Now that we actually have public. All right, seeing none. Yeah. Item J, everybody's favorite part for possible action adjournment. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right, we're adjourned. The RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. We are in the Sierra Room at the Community Center at 851 East Williams Street. Tamara, can you give us a roll call, please?
Chairperson Bunkowski.
Here.
Vice Chair Smolanski.
Here.
Mayor Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbra.
Here.
Commissioner McQuarrie.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Item B on the agenda is for public comment. If there's anybody in the public that would like to speak or address the Regional Transportation Commission, you can come up to the podium now. If you are here to speak on an item on the agenda, then you may wait until that agenda item. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Seeing none, we will move on to item C, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? If so, I would take a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of the February 11th, 2015 meeting.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving on to item D, agenda management. Sorry. Anybody on the commission have any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, staff, any changes to the agenda? Moving on to item E, disclosures. Any member of the commission wish to explain any contact with the public?
I have a question there. I live out on Sierra Vista. This boat does certainly apply to me in the future, but I don't know if that's a recuse for a street that goes to my residence. If it is, I've actually talked to the residents a little bit about that. So,
Mr. Deputy DA.
You are probably in a position that you stand to benefit no more or less than any other member of the general public, including anyone along that street. So there is no reason for you. It's great for the disclosure purposes, but no reason for an abstention.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to Item F1, for possible action to determine that Justin Wilson Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-103, Western Nevada College Sidewalk Project, for bid amount of $58,700 plus a contingency amount of $8,805 for a total not to exceed price of $67,505 to be funded from the Regional Transportation Fund capital outlay account as provided in fiscal year 2014-2015 budget.
I will take that, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to say that we are going to be able to construct the Western Nevada College Sidewalk Project. This is actually a much-needed sidewalk connection at the west end of College Parkway to the college property. We have had some issues there in the past. There are jacked bus routes near there. There are people that walk there. So we're very pleased to be able to do that. This is being primarily funded, just want to make sure this is clear, with a Transportation Alternatives Program grant, which is a 95% federal grant. While it will be paid for out of the RTC fund, we will get a 95% reimbursement. I'm also pleased to say that because it came in under our estimate, frankly, which is a positive, we are virtually assured that the entire cost will be paid for at 95%. And the Western Nevada College has contacted us on several occasions, looking forward to this implementation, so we know we have their support as well. With that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, I will bring it back to the commission for action.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I move to determine that Justin Wilson Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-103, Western Nevada College Sidewalk Project, for a bid amount of $58,700 plus a contingency amount of $8,805 for a total not to exceed price of $67,505 to be funded from the Regional Transportation Fund capital outlay account as provided in fiscal year 2014-2015 budget.
To clarify, that's $8,805, not $88.05. Do I have a second?
Second.
I said $88.05. Oh, thank you.
And we have a second. Any discussion by the commission? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F2, information regarding an update on the Carson City ADA transition plan for transportation facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just an update to let the commission know that the ADA transition plan for transportation facilities has been completed and finalized. What was distributed with your packets is actually just the plan itself. It's a very large document, so the appendices were left off. It's about 400 some pages, so and there's a little one-page summary that kind of just talks about the process of how the data was collected and the plan was developed, and basically everything's there on our website for the public to review. We did have a public information meeting. That's not the big turnout that we were hoping for, but still had some folks show up, and they didn't have any comments specifically related to the plan, but we did have some good conversation there. So, and it's staff's intention to move forward to the best of its ability to start implementing these recommendations, not just the physical improvements themselves, but if you flip through the plan, you can see there's a lot of suggestions about our city ordinances and design standards and that sort of thing. So with that said, also there's assumptions were made based on the funding that we could an annual amount that we could contribute to start implementing the improvements in our plan, and those assumptions were made based on past grants that we've received. So we expect that to fluctuate a little bit, but as best to our ability, we want to stick to this plan and start implementing it.
Are there there any questions from the commissioners?
Yes, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. So this plan is it going to be modified at all, or is this the they're just as kind of a guideline, huh?
This is well, these plans are meant to be about like a living document, and so you know, we inventoried what we could with our available budget. Certainly going forward, we hope to expand upon this as well. And while we are also implementing some of these improvements, you know, we envision updating this periodically just to, you know, say what we've accomplished mm-hmm. and also identify new areas and even areas that, you know, weren't specifically inventory, but we've done other improvements too. Just so we can start better tracking this sort of thing. And I should mention as well, with, you know, the physical plan, we actually have all the data that was collected in a geospatial format. So, you know, we're going to move forward and really maintain that GIS database, and that will help us better track, you know, what improvements we're doing and basically what needs to be done to meet these requirements.
A couple quick questions on the plan, if I could. Let's see. Where am I at here? On page 7, I was just curious about, it mentions in there about snow removal for residents. Is that going to be something the city is going to push for, is warning notices and that kind of thing for residents when they don't clean their sidewalks?
I think there's some internal discussion that needs to happen about how we're going to best implement some of these. Is that fair to say, Patrick?
Yes, because frankly, there are existing requirements regarding snow removal, but it's not that we have in the past or have had plans to have the infrastructure and services in place to go. And you know, I've personally lived in places where they have much higher tax rates, and they have capabilities where if you didn't, you know, shovel in front of your house, you know, a public works crew would come out and do it, and you'd get a bill in the mail. That's not something that we have indicated that we're going down the road to do, just to make that clear, because we certainly don't have the capabilities at this time to do that. So it's a matter of looking at what is a reasonable approach given where we are.
And just a couple other questions on through it, if I could. And let's see, on page 9, the standard details, as you know, I'm very familiar with. Are we planning on going to 6-foot sidewalks? Is that and that's the recommendation, but I don't know if that's what you're planning on doing.
I think with staff, design staff did have some input early on this too, and their take on it was we were going to stick with the 5-foot sidewalks, just because that's the standard that we've been developing to so far, and we want to maintain that consistency, and it does meet you know, ProAg requirements. So.
Okay, and then finally, I think just the last question, hopefully I got, is on the, excuse me, I forget which page it is, but, on page 13, on the maintenance versus alteration programs, are we going to follow the Department of Justice and the FHWA guidelines? As in, if you do a microsurface, as we obviously do all the time, you're going to have to update the handicap ramps in that area. Is that going to be required to be done?
More frequently, we do slurry seals, which is, of course, to the left of the line. We do that much more than we do any microsurfacing, but we do microsurfacing. So we're going to have to evaluate that. We've actually talked to Washoe RTC about their practices, and they're dealing with this as well. And this is not only a local issue, but certainly a national issue of how to address your practices. So I think that the case is still open on what our approach is going to be.
Okay, and sorry, bear with me. I'll be done here in a second. And then on page 30, in the implementation schedule, it mentions item number 4, self-evaluation and ADA transition plan updates. So in the $200,000 budget, is the transition plan update going to be done by city staff, or is that going to be contracted out again?
Again, we haven't really discussed in detail. I think that was kind of, we asked them to kind of put that in just to, you know, steers provide us sort of best estimate of what we could do to feasibly, you know, inventory the remainder of the city. I think our first priorities are going to actually be implementing some of these improvements with the expectation that, you know, maybe every couple of years we can update this and expand geographically. But as far as whether it's city staff or consulting, we haven't really had those discussions. The consultant did have equipment, you know, available at their disposal that was that they used to gather the data, which, you know, the city does not have. But, you know, we haven't really had any discussions yet of whether, you know, we want to purchase something like that and train our own staff or shop that out, basically.
And if I can add, it also depends on frankly, the flavor of the money. There are, if we have RTC or streets revenues, they can be used for constructing sidewalks, frankly. The money that we used to do this study, to conduct this study, could not be used for construction. So, frankly, the flavor of the money that's available to us may also dictate how much we can put to construction versus the further evaluation. And if I might, I just want to add is that I think it's hopefully well known that we have been for now years trying to take a very proactive approach to fix everything we can, to be as responsive as we can, even in the face of a relatively daunting task and a very big shortfall in the amount of money that we have to meet all the needs. But we haven't made progress, and we will continue to do so. This plan is another thing that will help us to make that progress. It was done with the input not only of professionals but of citizens at the front end of making sure you try to guide your improvements to where they're most needed. And I just saw an article just the other day about the most recent city, one of the biggest ones in the country, that reached a settlement agreement regarding ADA sidewalk issues. And I think the city of Los Angeles's number was $1.4 billion. So while it doesn't happen all the time, they're not the first, they're not the last, and we want to make sure that we stay proactive and we don't get ourselves in a position like that.
Sorry, one more question and I'll be done. On page 20, I forgot this one. It shows a summary of ramp issues in unsignalized intersections, and it gives you a breakdown of the non-compliant areas, which I'm pretty clear on most of these, except for number one, that's 69.8% out of compliance, and that's no color contrast. What is that?
I believe that's in reference to the like the tactile strip or the plate for the ramp leading up. If it's a yellow, you know, vinyl thing, something for people with vision impairments to be able to detect the difference and know the location of where that ramp is.
Excellent. So this is a plan with a lot of great guidelines and some stuff that we can implement in the future, but it's not a solid set in stone. So I appreciate your answer.
Correct. Yeah, very much so, yes.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions?
Yes.
Actually, I was surprised when I read the snow removal one, too, so I thought, especially since the city trucks probably shut it up on the sidewalk. But So I would assume that was sidewalks that might connect to bus connections or something that might be an impediment more than anything else. But I think you answered that question, that it isn't in concrete and it isn't what might happen. I just had a question about having worked in state parks. We had somebody come out that was active in pursuing ADA compliance inside the parks. And I wondered if, when you said you had a public hearing, is there a nonprofit in place or a group of people who seem to help the city and kind of play a watchdog role? And when you write a document like this, there's a lot of requirements, and I was just curious if that's in this community or not.
Well, we did early on, as Patrick mentioned, we reached out to members of the disabled community and some of the homes, you know, that provide, you know, services for disabled individuals. So as much as we could, we tried to invite them to the table, and you know, we were hoping for more, a little bit bigger turnout, but we did get some pretty vocal people show up, and we're very grateful for their input. So
there is kind of a part of this community that is active and making sure that these things are taken care of. And this document is pretty thorough, but I can't imagine the price tag at the end of this one. But it might not be quite as big as LA's, though, I would guess.
Any additional comments or discussion from the commission? Seeing none, I'll open this item up to public comment, if anybody in the public would care to discuss this item. And seeing none, I will bring it back to... We don't need any action. It's information only. So we will move on to F3.
I'll take that one. This is for possible action. Consistent with the city's policy on the application of grants, we are seeking approval from the RTC prior to the submission of a grant for Federal Lands Access Program, which can be pronounced as FLAP. So I'm going to use that word FLAP. No, that's what it stands for, Federal Lands Access Program funds. The intent is to seek a total of $2 million, which would require a 5% match, which would come from the RTC funds if we were successful. The application is not due until May 8th. I'd say it's about 98% complete. We've met with the Bureau of Land Management, but we are seeking approval to do the submission. In short, the improvements would result in the reconstruction of Sierra Vista Lane, approximately 2.5-mile long portion of that road, which has certainly been before this body before, regarding ownership and maintenance of that road. It is a significantly deteriorated road with numerous issues, which I'll briefly summarize as saying include drainage and the fact that when it was constructed, it was really just constructed out of grindings with a thin seal coat. It wasn't a substantial road, and there are not, as I mentioned, not the drainage improvements that are required. The intent of the program is to access federal lands. There would be some limited improvements at the access points to be consistent with the grant, but the true benefit to the city and the residents would be the fact that the road would be much more easily maintained and passable and much more resistant to weather conditions. I will say that, you know, while we are certainly hopeful at the submission of this grant, I wouldn't give, you know, if I were a betting man even money, I wouldn't say that we would get this, because it is a competitive process that's open to numerous applicants. I believe member Kimbrough, who is a member of the Tahoe Transportation District, attends those meetings. They are also putting in for these funds as well. I believe there's something on the agenda this week. So well, we know that other people are putting in for it as well, but we believe it was the right thing to do to attempt to get this funding, because if we are successful, it would be more than worth that 5% match that we would be required to provide, because this road is seriously in need of investment.
Well, Patrick, I can guarantee that we're not going to get him if we don't apply.
That's right.
Are there any questions from the commissioners?
Patrick, the grant, you're going for the $2 million. Is that all that is available, or is there more? Because you said competitive bidding, do you have any idea as to the pool of money that's available?
I believe that the pool of money is, and I'll apologize for their staff member who's the primary worker. He left because his wife's having a baby, but I think the pool is closer to $8 million. And while I think it's in the $7 to $8 million range for the state, while it would have been possible for us to spend more, we were trying to make it realistic and improve our chances of receiving the funding that we were seeking.
And one other question. So if you go for, you put in the grant for the $2 million, is there a possibility that they would award something and it could be less, or it's either all or nothing round?
No, I do believe there is a possibility of that, as often is the case. And should we be, you know, informed of that, we will certainly work with our federal partners to access what is available to us.
Just a thank you for creative work on this one, to look for possibilities rather than just look at down the road as having problems. So I was really appreciative when I saw this on the agenda, and saw these efforts being made for that. And we're just competing with a bike trail from Incline to San Harbor, so that would be... We have to make this look pretty jazzy here, so we got to... It'll be the Carson River, some type of access road. We'll change the name to something that's more creative.
There are multiple public areas of, for recreating that are accessed off of this road, so we're not lying when we say that.
Yes, thanks, Chairman. The $2 million, is that going to be enough to build this road? Is that the budget to...
Yes. I mean, we can't say that we've done 100% engineering on this by any means, but we do have a staff member from our design team that actually did work on the cost estimate for this, and he is extremely familiar with the road.
And you're going to use the standard detail for the road would be the rural road section. Is that what you're going to use?
Yeah, I believe it's a 24-foot width, and it's 4 inches of asphalt on 6 inches.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm guessing there's going to be some public comment on this one. We'll open this up for public comment.
Hi, my name is Mike Turner, and I'm president of the Homeowners Association, and I think most of the members are here today. And we want to thank you all for putting this together, and like Mark said, being proactive about this. And even if it doesn't go through this time, next year, apply again. I'm assuming that this is for, the monies would be for FY26 after October of, on the federal fiscal year, so
yeah, that would be our expectation.
Okay, and to actually add to what you had said, this area is really used by the public. You can go out there any evening, both sides of the river. There are people walking and enjoying that area, so there is a real need. The other side, the west side, is getting crowded by the ranch, and there's a lot of outflow onto the east side of people. And so parking is really a need. The current parking down in there is a mud hole where guys go down there when it rains and do wheelies and things. So there really is a need for this. And as the homeowners out here, of course, we'd benefit from it. But as a user of the river, I also would appreciate it, giving people a place to park and improving that road. When the city did do the chip seal, it really, another benefit is that the dust reduction was great. And the maintenance, actually, it used to be the city would grade that road twice a year, and it was either dusty or a big one continuous mud bog all the way down. That chip seal was great. This is the next step to make it actually a better, longer-term quality road. I think you've seen the benefits of that chip seal and that there's just no fugitive dust like there used to be, and that should be of interest to the BLM and that we're actually improving the air quality. Furthermore, I think that the improvements on the drainages in there will actually enhance the water quality going into the river. I don't know if there's anything to be done with retention or detention basins in there, but to stress with the BLM that this would improve water and air quality and actually enhance the public use of both sides of the road there for going up to the Pinyon Hills or down to the river. It was really a great opportunity. So thank you. And we sure appreciate it, and hope that the board signs off on approving the $100,000. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, can you state your name again for the record?
My name is Mike Turner, and resident of Rio Vista Lane. All right, thank you.
Thank you, and I think there's no question that not only for the residents that live out off of the road, but also for recreation purposes and especially for emergency services, that this is a good project. Is there additional public comment?
Yes. And please forgive me.
If you can wait till you get to the podium.
Go ahead and state your name. My name's Don Nyhoff. I actually am a resident out there. My property is on Sierra Vista. Across the road from me is actually BLM. And not 100% opposed to it, but I do have a couple concerns that I thought I'd bring up right away. A lot of people come out there, and that's wonderful. It's public land, and they should enjoy it. But I find on that road that people race on that road, even in the condition it is now. So I think that's something that has to be addressed. The other thing I have personally concerns about is when they put the easement for Sierra Vista onto my property, they actually put it in the wrong, it's not where it's supposed to be. So it cuts off part of my property. So I have a little bit of concern there when if this grant goes through, how that's going to affect my property.
If I may, we have information was put together several years ago by the city engineer at the time regarding the alignment of the road and, you know, and any easements and the different ownerships. Should we be successful in getting this, as it is federal funding, we will have very strict requirements to follow regarding what we call a clearance of the right-of-way. We have to do environmental clearances and right-of-way clearances and the like. So while I can't speak directly to the point that you have, I can assure you that using this money will require us to be extremely careful in how we approach this and make sure that the property owners are treated fairly under federal law.
Okay. So I guess my question is then, whoever has an easement in regards to Sierra Vista Lane, would they be contacted?
Yes, absolutely. We would have to prove to the federal government prior to any construction or any activity that we have the legal right to occupy any property. And I don't remember Kimber.
I think a strong point needs to be made, Don, that it's the first 2.5 miles where the pavement ends. It's not going any farther. It's not coming to the subdivision. So it's only Sierra Vista to where it's already paved to, and then it stops.
Correct, but you know where I'm located.
Right, but so it stops about a mile from your house, probably.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, so I just clarify it for you.
Okay. Well,
first 2.5 miles.
But the
same rules apply for the other people that are at the other end of it, but you're about a mile away from the end of it, so you're fine.
Okay,
But my statements would apply to anybody along that 2.5 miles.
Okay.
Right, I would assume that any legal descriptions would have to be verified before any construction started. Right. Additional public comment. Last chance.
Hi, my name is Sue Hassler. It's H-A-S-S-E-L-E-R. I'm the secretary for the Homeowners Property Association, and I think all of us came here in support of this grant, and we just wanted to first of all say thank you for doing the paperwork and looking at this for us. I actually live on Rio Vista, which is off of Sierra Vista, and one of the other things that our whole area is used for is for equestrian. There's a staging center on Sierra Vista where people come and park their trailers, and then they can take their horses out and use it for equestrian. So we not only have the river accessible, but we have the equestrian area, and then people that want to come and use off-road vehicles stage there also. So there's a lot of benefit for people in the public for them to come out there and be able to use this road and this access, because it sets it up for them to be able to have things to do during the summer. And so I just wanted to make sure that we know that there's a lot more activity that goes on out there, and it's been a really positive thing for all of us out there. So just wanted to say thank you again.
Thank you, Sue. And that brings up a good point, Patrick. I think I remember reading in here that part of this grant goes towards improving some enhanced parking areas.
Yes, that is correct. But limited improvements. We did meet with the BLM, and nobody's looking at, you know, paving large parking lots. Just make sure that's clear.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I will, Mr. Chair. I move to approve staff's pursuit of a grant with the Federal Lands Access Program, FLAP, in the amount of $2 million and authorize the RTC chairman to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion by the commissioners? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It passes unanimously with one absent. Thank you. All right, moving on to item G1, Street Operations Report. Are you taking that, Patrick?
Sure. Yes, I don't know if there was anything that was immediately remarkable in this. I will I don't have any great details, but I will note that at the last meeting I was asked if the trees that were listed in the tree care maintenance were the ones in Mills Park, and I did provide the chair the follow-up saying that as this is a month delayed, those were not the trees in Mills Park. The ones in Mills Park now showed up in this report. excuse me. Our concrete crew continues to be out there working. I just saw them out there today, out near the sheriff's office somewhere. They always seem to be working hard somewhere. I will note that while it doesn't show up on something like this, I will note that there was some work done behind Slot World, actually, by in coordination with a private property owner who actually paid for most of the improvements, but in cooperation with us and with partial funding from the city, did some concrete work over there as well. We certainly enjoy our public-private partnerships where they are available. And beyond that, I'll just note that our folks are out there doing everything from street sweeping to, I know in my neighborhood they were striping the crosswalks and the stop bars. So the weather has been good enough that they've kept working.
Any questions from the commissioners on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to G2, Project Status Report.
Okay. Let's see. I'll just start at the beginning. The East-West Transmission Main, it is in the latter stages now. This week there is some significant paving operations going on, affecting the Aquatic Center and also the roads, Solomon and the roads in the park. It is intentionally being done during spring break week for the high school. So we're happy to report that what we said we'd do several months ago, we are actually doing. It does work out sometimes. The East 5th pedestrian improvements, that won't be coming off of here. We expect to be back to you next month for a closeout of that project. The work is done in the field. The William Street path improvements, I believe the design is complete. We're just waiting for a notice to proceed, which will let us put that out to bid and then bring it to you guys for a contract. The Western Nevada sidewalk improvements, as you know, we just awarded that at this evening's meeting. The Long Street sidewalk improvements, which is CDBG and transit funds, which will further extend the Long Street projects that we've done from Stewart to the east. This will connect it over to Carson Street on one side of the road. I just saw the 90% design yesterday, so that's moving right along as well. A little update on Robinson Street. As I indicated to you last month, we expect to be out in there in May as part of our slurry seal program to do a little slurry seal out there. But we expect within the next 2 weeks that we'll be out there to do crack filling with our own crack fill crew. And we're hoping to do that on a Sunday to avoid any significant traffic impacts, because it does take a little while that you can't be on that road. The Nye Lane one will be removed from this listing. It's done. It's all been built out. It's all done. Clear Creek Avenue Sanitary Sewer, I actually texted our engineering manager and on the schedule for that, and we're hoping to advertise that in May and bid it for award, open bids and award in the June-July timeframe. So that one is going ahead. That will definitely impact traffic. It's a necessary sewer project, but it will result in both an improved roadway and a sidewalk on one side of the road, which was something that was certainly desired by the tribe in our previous discussions with them. And I think that's about it. I think I already mentioned last month that the slurry seal program will be coming back here to finish what they started last year. And one final thing, we will be adding a couple more projects to this. We have determined that we have some funding available, and we're working on schedules now to work on some street projects with the funding that we do have available to us. So we'll be adding some projects.
Thank you, Patrick. Any questions from the commissioners on the project description reports? Seeing none, we will move on to future agenda items, item G3.
Yeah. We will have, as I mentioned, the closeout of the East 5th Street project. We hope to have the Phase 2B-3 agreement with MDOT, which covers just things to do with that phase. Because dating back many years, those agreements were approved by the Board of Supervisors, we expect to bring it to you in May for a recommendation to the board for their approval. As we previously outlined at the March meeting, the folks working on the downtown, the plans for the downtown project, both the consultant team and our project manager, Danny Rotter, will be here at our next meeting. That will be following the April 20th public theming workshop. So they'll be providing more information to both the RTC and the RAC in May. We are looking forward to a resolution to receive some right-of-way for a path, actually, along the multi-use path along the freeway for with NDOT. And the last one to note is that the Brewery Arts Center has a request in to close indefinitely about 100 feet of Minnesota Street, just north of 2nd Street. It is different. It's not a special use permit or an encroachment permit, but it's also not an abandonment. There's not going to be a changing of hands of the right-of-way. So our intent is to bring it to the RTC because it would result in a closure of the street to traffic at your next meeting. And I want to make sure that I inform you at this time that that is our intent because as part of this, we do intend to notify the neighboring properties like they do for some planning commission actions. We do intend to notify those neighbors, and the notifying requirements would require those notices to go out prior to the next RTC meeting. So because of that, I want to make sure that the RTC is aware of our intent to notify the neighbors. It would be agendized and would be before you at a meeting.
Thank you, Patrick. Are there any future agenda items from the commissioners? Mark?
I swear when I was on the Planning Commission, we approved that years ago.
Yeah,
from the Brewery Arts Center, all the utilities
are
in there.
I actually was involved in that as well, and I brought it before the RTC back, it was a little over 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And Lee Plummel knows the details better, but I believe that their conditional approval actually had a time expiration on it, which has now expired. And in this case, it is a much different scaled-down proposal, and it does not include the abandonment of the right-of-way.
Which was before total abandonment. So I'm just curious on your vibrating roller out here. Is the pool being tested too at the same time I hear?
I hear it was temporarily going to be a wave pool. So I believe the Aquatic Center was closed today.
I was going to say, it feels like they're about 95% now, compaction.
For those on TV, listening on the TV, what we're talking about is there's a vibration coming into the room from the equipment that's compacting the asphalt parking lot that's being laid as we speak.
The board has been asking for massage chairs for a while.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been in the budget. So.
Actually, what we wanted was chairs that you didn't have to put quarters in. Any future agenda items from the commissioners? Seeing none, we will move on to commission comments. Item H, do we have any commission comments?
Mr. Chair, Patrick, I just want to mention, and maybe you can pass it off, but I travel Fifth Street to Fairview every morning, roughly about 5 a.m., and I noticed that there was a very, very nice addition between 5th and Desatoya, the crosswalk that is on Fairview. It is now lit in the middle of the night, and let me tell you what, that light makes quite a difference, and I just want to applaud whoever put that together.
Yeah, if I may, the crossing guard was previously located to the north of that location, and he wasn't located at either of those flashing warning lights or in the school zone. He was kind of a no man's land. So we recommended that they move to the south, and he had expressed concerns about the lighting, and we were able to provide that.
And it is well lit at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Any additional comments? Seeing none, we will move on to item I, which is our final public comment. Is there any public comment from the public? Seeing none, we will bring it back to the commission for adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
absolutely. You know, like I said, you know,